Hey guys, welcome to the Business and Life podcast by Miss Ben Percival, future Sir Percival, and then myself. I think today's...
You know, apparently my bloodlines come from the Sir Percival of the Round Table. Yeah,
we'll have to...
I don't know if that's bullshit or not. But...
We'll have to talk about.
There was a Percival. There was a knight, a Sir Percival of the Round Table. So, who knows?
I think today's discussion point is just looking, if you starting out in business, looking at what kind of business to start. We can go into our experiences in building businesses. I think we've got a bit of a different trajectory on kind of like where we come from. Definitely. Now we're doing similar things, but maybe some ideas on how to start if you've got little money, what to focus on, and how to just progress in your business growth cycle, essentially, if you're trying to become better at it. So, Ben, could you tell me in 1 minute your background to from your start, early beginnings to where you're at today?
Yeah, so I went to university. I studied biology at university, and while I was at university, I realised that it's not what degree you're doing at university that matters. It's what you're doing at university outside of your degree that matters. The internships you're doing, the societies you've joined, the relationships you've built with other companies, and that set me up pretty well when I left university to get a job in the field I wanted to. So I ended up working in investment banking for a year. I didn't particularly enjoy it because I wasn't in the right environment for me. I then moved into a investment analyst role, which was much more in line with how I am and what I like to do. I was there for about a year before unfortunately dropping out. And I then decided that I was going to start my own business. And for the next 2 years, I started a couple of businesses, mostly focused around e-commerce and one on auto manufacturing. And they both went okay, but I faced really big problems with my e-commerce business, which I can talk about later on. But they did provide me enough capital to start my next business, which was a investment and acquisition business. And now that essentially buys and invests in and consults on SMEs around the UK. And when I first started, pretty much all of the capital I had was input into that business. And it started off slow, of course, because you only have a limited amount of capital. But as you buy and build and invest in more businesses, your capital grows and you have more excess cash available to invest in other businesses. So it becomes a bit exponential. But the first 6 months were quite slow. The last 18 months we've been growing at a fantastic rate. So that's where I am now. And how about you, Matthew? Tell me about your background and how you got to where you are.
So background is, I'm currently 24 years old, started out at university in engineering, very similar to Ben, realised that uni wasn't going to, you've got to take charge of yourself. So uni wasn't going to do that for me. And I started trying to develop relationships with other entrepreneurs while I was at university trying to build projects. To be honest, all of them kind of failed or didn't really make money, or that much money at least.
But just butt in there, how much did you learn from those failed experiences?
Tons, especially on the impatience part of it. So if you really want to make something happen, you need to give it at least 6 months, I would say. A good 6 months, you need to give it. And
definitely,
your focus shouldn't be on making money. It should be on becoming really, really good at what you do and at the processes that will make the money as opposed to on the money. So that's number one of the lessons I learned.
You almost feel like the money you've put into that, even though you've lost it all, was worth it just for the experiences.
Yeah.
What you've learned from them. It's almost like paying for a course because you're going out there and trying to do something and maybe you lost thousands of pounds, but it's almost like spending money on doing a course, but it's better because it's real world experiences and you learn from failures.
Exactly. And then what I learned from there is that I needed to have some more guidance and surround myself with the right people. So then worked for free for a very successful entrepreneur. That's how Ben and I met. So I started to learn about M&A when I was about 20, 21. And then from thereafter, I joined a management consulting firm where I learned about strategy. I learned about how to talk to clients. I learned about how to create presentations, pitches, talk to people on a corporate level. And then realized that I wanted to own equity inside businesses. And that's where I got exposed to the private equity model. I was exposed to it before, but I just didn't have, I guess, the knowledge and the lessons and, to be honest, the maturity to get into it. And then from there, Ben and I actually tried to do a bit of the M&A acquisition side of things. I think it was just not the right time, I guess, maturity-wise or business-wise for us to do it together.
And we've spoken about this before in that in this world, in the M&A world, you need to have some grey hair in your business because what happens if two 20-something-year-olds come and approach you and say, "We'll come and buy your business"? People don't really take you seriously, no matter what your background or experience. I think Matthew would admit, and I would probably admit, that both of us didn't have enough experience at that time to do what we wanted to do. We had an ambition and we knew where we wanted to go, but we just didn't have the know-how and the knowledge at that time. And that came as we worked with other people and slowly worked our way through it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we're pretty much at similar positions right now. So I'm part of a partner within a private equity or investment firm that looks at acquiring and investing and growing businesses. It's called Opulentia Capital, if you guys want to search it up. And then Ben's your Globewell Partners or Globewell Capital?
I'm Globewell Partners, so now we buy, build, invest, and consult in SMEs across the UK.
So if you were starting out, let's say you're like 18, a university, looking to, you know you want to make it, you want to build something pretty substantial, what, I guess, would be your advice to someone starting out? Like really basic stuff.
I think basic stuff would be, don't be afraid to lose a bit of money, because you'll try many things. So if you're starting, I have failed in a lot of businesses in my life. Some have been very successful, but the majority have failed. But it takes all of those failed businesses to get to the point where you succeed in one. And I think that's the same in every entrepreneur. Every successful entrepreneur is a product of a number of failed businesses, because the number of things you learn from that is fantastic. Now, if you don't have a failed business, then great, you know. You shouldn't go out trying to have your business fail. But if it does fail, don't worry about it. You know, these things happen. And don't invest too much money in your first business, I would say. Try to start a business that's not very CapEx heavy, so you don't need to invest too much money in it. And you'll learn a lot from that, and you won't spend a lot of money on it.
What skill set would you say has helped you the most in trying to build your business?
That's a great question. I think I wouldn't say most, but a few skill sets that have really helped me are just basic accounting and finance. And that's quite important. And understanding of customers and consumers and just general markets. I think when you go into a business or start a business, it's so important to understand where that business is in the market and what kind of differentiation you're adding. If you start a business in the same area as another business that's doing the same thing, that's offering the same product, but yours is a lower service, you're getting a poorer service, and it's at a higher price, your business is just not going to succeed.
And what would you say, because I think M&A and investments and acquisitions and so on, it's, you require so many skill sets to make it happen. So you require like financial skill sets, legals, sales, what else? like people management,
sales, deal making, people being able to conversate with people and having empathy for people, having confidence in yourself and what you know, leadership. I mean, you can, everything you can imagine.
I think acquisitions is one of the most complete. Like, you need to be really, really complete as a business owner in order to like make it as an acquisition specialist. Yeah. I think for me, if I was starting out, I wouldn't go into M&A because it's so difficult.
And you can't. And you need to have some grounding in business first. Generally, the way I say, if you want to go out and buy businesses and invest in businesses, you need to have a business first. I think understand how businesses work, start your own business, use that business as a platform to go out and acquire other businesses, because you're going to learn so much from just having your own business that it's going to make it much easier when you go out and do acquisitions for businesses, because you'll understand the market a lot more. You'll understand how the business operates and what drives revenue, what drives margins. And that's fundamental.
That's so true. I think if I was starting out personally, I wouldn't go into e-commerce as you did. Because I think you require a bit of capital to buy the inventory. Maybe looking at
And I wouldn't go into it either again, and especially wouldn't go into it with Amazon businesses. I know a lot of people start Amazon FBA businesses. I had quite a heavy weighting of my revenues towards selling on third-party platforms. I would be very wary about selling on third-party platforms. Firstly, competition is extremely high, and there's very, very low barriers to entry, so that already initially doesn't set up for a good business. Secondly, they are third-party websites, so you're not controlling your sales. They are, and so if they revoke your ability to sell on that platform, suddenly all of your sales have gone. So I would say, if you are starting a business, if you really want to start an online business and you've got a great idea for an online business, try to make it as capex light as possible, and make sure that predominantly your sales are coming through your own channels.
I think something that's really interesting is maybe developing a skill set and then developing the business around that skill set. So, for example, you could be, you know, really good at social media, right? Like at building up LinkedIn pages. So what you can do then is look at the process that you develop in order to develop a LinkedIn page and create like a procedure, sell that for 2,000 per month, and then subcontract that for 1,000 per month, make 1,000 profit per month, and there you go, you've got a business. And that's what business is really is, right? It's just like selling for the two.
Yes. And it's a great thought, because let's say you have a passion. Let's say your passion is something random. Let's pick a random, like skipping. Like with skipping jumping ropes. Let's say you love doing that, and so you start an Instagram channel where you're skipping a lot, and you develop a following, and then you manage to bring sponsors on board, and all you're doing is skipping at this point. And these sponsors are now paying you to advertise their products. And then maybe 6 months down the line, you think, actually, I want to start my own website, and I want to start selling my own products. And then you start your own skipping web brand. You have maybe you start selling skipping ropes. That goes really well. And so maybe you think, actually, what I want to do is start selling gym wear and other kind of wares that I can sell to people that relate to my rate of gym wear, skipping. And then that's, now suddenly you've gone from having a passion to having a fully fledged business. And you've turned your passion into a business. And you're not going to be bored of that, because that is your passion. And I think that's so important. People will start businesses because maybe they see a gap in the market. And that's a great idea. I'm not denouncing that idea at all, because several successful, loads and loads of businesses have been successful doing that. But if you think you're struggling with motivation generally and not knowing what to do, the best thing to do is turn your passion into a business. And you're not going to be bored of it. And at the end of the day, you're still doing something you love.
Exactly. And that's so true.
And I think I've done that now, in that what I love doing is investing and consulting in businesses. And it just happens that I can turn that into a business. But I would do that if I didn't have this business, I would still do that. Yeah. It's a passion of mine. I really enjoy business and I love improving and operating businesses. That's just what I love to do.
So that's so true. I mean, and I think we live in a, I guess, a time in a moment in time in history where it's a lot easier to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, 100%. And then,
what do you think about what businesses do you recommend people starting? Have you got any ideas of what businesses? So say someone's like, I want to get into business. I really have a great idea of being an entrepreneur, but I don't know, I don't have a great idea of what business to start, but I know I'll be a good entrepreneur. Because I know, I hear a lot of people say that to me. I hear, hey Ben, I don't want this job anymore. I don't want to work my 9-to-5 anymore. I'm not really enjoying working in the office the way I am. I'd love to be an entrepreneur. I'd love to start a business, but I just don't know
what I would do. Personally, is I would a service-based business, like B2B service-based business, that's helping companies either improve the revenues or reduce costs. And what I would do is I would find a provider that's doing it pretty cheaply and then up the price and then sell that service through an offer that makes it irresistible for the seller to say no to. That makes it irresistible for the seller, essentially. So, for example, let's say there's tech companies right now trying to develop into new markets, and they're looking to contact different providers. They're trying to contact different companies in the UK. What you could do is you could develop an expertise on LinkedIn, or hire someone that has the expertise on LinkedIn on how to contact CEOs and CFOs inside companies that you're looking to develop your startup into. And you could go to the startup and tell them, look, why don't you pay me a recurring payment of $750, for example, for developing your brand or your product in this new market. And then what you'll do is you subcontract that to the other guy, and then he'll do it for $250. And you just make the difference. I think that's the simplest.
Simple business to start, and very low capex again, or no capex basically.
Just produces cash flow. It's literally one of the, I guess, the side businesses that I've got. It helps you learn about sales, offer structuring, pipeline monitoring. So like how to manage a sales pipeline, how to manage people, how to essentially do like project management, probably create like SOPs. So SOP is a standard operating procedure, essentially how to do what you do so that you can outsource that and just focus your time in more high value activities. You start to learn about cash flows, the fact that cash is really important to have in the business, and you don't get yourself into debt, you don't get yourself into any tough positions, you just make money, essentially.
Yeah, I think that's good. That's a very good point. B2B businesses, services businesses, if you are very low on cash, those are ones you can start because they've got zero or very little capital expenditure required. And then,
and then what happens at that point is you'll want more, as always. And then once you want more, you want to find better ways of either scaling your current business or better ways of buying more revenue. And that's where you get to the position in which we're trying to get to, or we're at, essentially, where you try and buy revenue. And that's a whole nother ballpark of like business growth, essentially.
And I would say to anyone listening who wants to start a business but doesn't know what to start, and as we've mentioned, passion, start a business with your passion. Look at businesses where it's low capex, maybe a service-based business that won't require a lot, doesn't have to require a lot of your time either. You're going to put a small amount of your time into it. And I would say don't start a business, don't quit your job and start a business, because you need to rely on some income, because you're not going to make any income in your business for a while. As we said before, give it 6 months before you're in a position where this is working, this is not working. And if you've got a great idea, develop it on a small scale first. Don't go out and try and create the next Facebook on day one and ask for £1 million investment. Nobody's going to take you seriously. Go out there, work for free on your own building what you want to work. Maybe if you want to put some of your money into the business, then fine. But don't convince other people to put money into your business until you've done it yourself. And you're in a position where you've developed a business model. The business model is clearly working. And people can see, right, this is a good quality business that's going to be around. And another thing I would say to people listening, don't feel like you have to start a new sexy business. So don't feel like you just have to start a tech business or any kind of sort of SaaS-based business. Anything that you think, oh, well, I want to be an entrepreneur, but I want to look good at the same time. No, that's not an entrepreneur. You want to be an entrepreneur because you want independence. You want the ability to be financially free. You want to work hard for something and be rewarded for what you're working for and develop all the skills along the way that you do when you're an entrepreneur. So don't think that you need to start a business in technology, the next big app or the next big social media platform. Number one, it's so, so unlikely you're going to get there. Number two, there's so many other people doing it. And if you just pick a business, let's say you're interested in, you like construction or you like, you've got a hobby of carpentry. Well, how about you start making desks? You start woodworking. You do a woodworking course. You start making desks as a sole trader. You're working on your own, and you find ways to sell the desks you make.
Yeah.
That's great because now you've started a business that's not. I don't think it's not sexy. I quite like that, but most people would say, "Oh, that's not very sexy. It's just carpentry. It's not very sexy." But what's sexy is the cash flows you're making for that business in the next 3 to 5 years. That's what's interesting. That's what's fun. And you don't care what the business is doing. You care about what it's giving you. And that's the most important thing for any real entrepreneur.
I think, there's a guy called Gary Vee that talks a lot about this. The fact that, I guess, entrepreneurialism is being hyped out and that it's like very sexy right now. It's en vogue and so on. It's not. It's very lonely, to be honest, at times. It's I love it personally because I just like my interest goes towards it. But if what you're trying to do is like build a SaaS or a tech company without having like without pretty much having the basics covered of business, like you're gonna get or you're gonna lose the money of investors normally or probably you're gonna get yourself into a mental position where you're like very frustrated, you don't really know what to do, you don't enjoy what you do. It's not making money, so it's like, you know, like you're not getting the, I guess, the win on the other end.
And yes, I mean, you've got experience trying to build a business, but going out there and trying to pitch for, I get pitch books all the time sent to me on LinkedIn from people that say, oh, can you invest in my business? And I look at it and I'm like, I always give them advice because I think, well, at least this guy's come out and tried to speak to people. I always give them advice on saying, right, what you're asking for is completely unrealistic. And they might ask for sort of £1 million and they want $500,000 of that to be spent on an HR lady and these other people in the firm. They haven't even got any revenue yet. I mean, go out there and get some revenue first. Really prove that business model actually works before I'm going to be investing any money in that business.
And by the way, talking about this, when you first started like in business, how difficult, how easy did you think it was going to be versus how difficult was it actually?
That's a very good question.
I found out that it was like, holy shit, it's actually pretty tough to generate revenue and keep that revenue.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's very, very hard.
It's very, very fucking hard. And that's something that people don't tell you at the beginning.
It takes years, literally years, to develop a customer base and people that buy from you regularly or even to develop a name for yourself and have the position where you have the people in place and the confidence that if you hire more people that you're going to get that revenue.
Excellent.
And I think it's a shock for a lot of entrepreneurs when they start a business and they're like, crap, I've got all this stock, but nobody's buying my product. Like, why are they not buying it? And they haven't researched enough or tested the market enough or have the right marketing strategy. So that's why we always say on this channel, you know, take baby steps into what you're doing. Don't try and don't try and smash it out of the park and make 100 million in sales first. It's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. No good company, no big company ever started like that. They all started at doing nothing and slowly.
What about being rejected? Like, it's at the beginning when you're starting out in business, like, it's a pretty hard thing. It was, at least for me. Like, holy shit, I mean, I'm being rejected a lot of times. No.
You must be used to it with women.
Yeah.
I would say that's good practice for rejection. I'm not,
true,
not
yeah,
joking.
True.
Getting used to rejection in business, get used to rejection in life. Like, go out to the local bar, talk to 100 women. I guarantee at least 80% of them are going to reject you. That's great. You still get 20% that actually have a conversation, but that's great practice
to be
for business. You go out there and you have like a 50% return rate. Like, great. I can't pick up a woman, but I can win a client.
Honestly, and what happened to me, at least when I started getting like rejected a lot and I didn't have a girlfriend, I was just talking to like quite a few girls and I would just literally like a closing ratio would go up, or at least I would approach more people and then they go,
Yeah, it's a numbers game. It's always a numbers game. You've got to practice these things. But yeah, no, you're so right on rejection. It can be really disheartening as a young entrepreneur, especially. I think as you get older, throughout several decades, you get used to being rejected, and you've had a lot of rejections in life, so you know that it's not going to be a breeze. But if you're a young entrepreneur, let's say this podcast targeted mostly at millennials, if you're a millennial and you are looking to start a business, you may never have actually been properly rejected in your life. Maybe you're not a very confident person and you don't go out to nightclubs to talk to girls or whatever it is, talk to guys. You might not have ever actually faced rejection. Maybe you got into the first university you applied to, you're not used to being told no. And when you do get told no, it's like, hang on a minute, what's going
on? And that was my feel at the beginning. I was like, holy shit, this is really difficult.
You just have to get used to it. That's just one of those things that you have to keep doing. And every time you get rejected, just say, all right, brush it off. Yeah. Don't give a fuck. Yeah. Move on. Next one. And hold the details. What's happened to me in the past is I've been rejected. And I've then said, you know what, I'm going to come back on this. And I've come back 18 months later and I said, all right, let's see where we are now. And then they're like, okay, actually now I'm a bit more interested. And things start to change, and you see things start to change in your favor. So rejection is never full rejection. There's always that hope. And I think in sales that they will tell you that a lot. You know, when you get rejected, that's just the first step. You know, there's several steps with that same person that can still result in a sale later on in life.
Yeah, indeed. So, well, guys, that was our approach on what business to start. I think, as a summary, like a B2B service business where you don't require a lot of cash up front is something that's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
If you want to grow from there, obviously honestly, you can complicate your life as much as you want in business on the growth side of things.
Yeah.
So, you know, and we can talk about what we do in a bit more detail on another podcast. But if you're looking to start, I think that's our approach. Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, low capex, really research the market. Don't be afraid to lose money. Get good lessons from the business you do start. And don't be convinced into starting these sexy businesses when, if you have a good passion for a business, that's probably going to work out better. And some of these old school businesses that you start that are actually producing physical products are actually still good businesses to run, and if not better than the technology businesses that are currently floating around.
Exactly.
So, we could talk for a few hours about this, but I think we'll split it out over a few different podcasts. The next time we'll talk about how to sort of research niches and markets and that kind of thing, because that's always quite useful. But for now, thanks
Thank
for listening, guys.
Please
share the podcast.
You know, we're on LinkedIn, Instagram. I'm on Twitter. Are you on Twitter, Ben, as well?
I'm not really on Twitter at the moment. Maybe I'll be on Twitter a bit more.
So, Ben Percival and Matthew Wainwright.
Yeah.
Please search us up and share with any friends and family. Okay.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.